God is looking for the sweet grapes of righteousness in His vineyard. And He warns that He will judge the bitter grapes of corruption.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
You know, in just a moment here, I'm going to put a picture up on the page. It's taken from Israel, and I like it. It's kind of a neat picture there. But what this picture does is it powerfully illustrates for us what God wanted from His people, Israel, in the Old Testament covenant times. But it also illustrates what God wants from us today as men and women of the body of Christ, of the church in the New Testament age. This is what God wanted of His people then. It's what He wants of you and me today. And it's that right there. Isn't that a great picture? For those who are listening in on a podcast or online, we're looking at a picture of a woman holding a rather massive cluster of grapes there, or clusters of grapes, isn't it? Now, that was taken in Israel there. And that was God's desire for His people. Not just literal physical grapes, of course, but it was His desire for them to produce the wonderful and abundant and beautiful fruit of righteousness, of goodness, of holiness, of good works. This is what God desired for them. It's what He desired for us. You know, and this is a common element in the Scriptures, or imagery, which is used to describe what God wants of His people, about bearing fruit. We also see in the Scriptures that the people of Israel, the nation, was called the vineyard of God, that they were to produce fruit of righteousness. But also we see this in other places in Scripture too. The vine, the branches, right? Where Jesus says that He is the vine, and as the followers of Jesus, we are the branches, and that apart from Him, we can do nothing. We can't produce any fruit apart from the vine. So we must abide in Him, remain in Him. And of course, we also know of how the Scriptures speak of how the Holy Spirit produces what in us? The fruit of the Spirit. Right? So this is a common imagery in the Scriptures here. But today, though, we want to look, continuing in our series in the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah brings to us and brought to the people then a message here of warning of God's people that they were not producing those good grapes, those sweet grapes, but rather they were producing a harvest, all right, but it wasn't a fruit. It wasn't a fruitful harvest of good grapes, sweet grapes. It was a harvest of bitter grapes, rotten fruit. So you see, God is looking for the sweet grapes of righteousness in His vineyard. And He warns that He will judge the bitter grapes of corruption. So before we look at our text then, Isaiah chapter 5, a little context here. You'll recall we said that Isaiah is warning the people of God who have strayed from God's will and God's word. That the nation of Israel, that there was a time when the people were together as one king, as one nation, under Saul, under David, under Solomon. But after the death of Solomon, the kingdom was divided between north and south, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. And now some years have passed, a couple of hundred years or so have passed since that division. And in the time, the northern kingdom of Israel has produced how much good fruit?
Zero.
Nothing but wicked kings. Meanwhile, in the south, the track record is a little better in Judah, but even they have had problems with their corruption and idolatry there too. So God has brought judgment on the northern kingdom of Israel through the nation of Assyria. And that nation has also been causing trouble in the south, in Judah as well. And in fact, in about 100 or 200 or so years after this, God would bring judgment against that land in Judah. So what was the problem? Well, it was rampant idolatry. There was corruption and wickedness in the land. Some things never change, do they, folks? Idolatry, corruption, wickedness in the land, bitter fruits, bitter grapes. It was not the vineyard that God had planted or that God desires. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, starting in verses 1 through 7. And by the way, I'm going to be using for this here the New Living Translation in this, because sometimes in the poetic language of Scripture, I think it's easier for us to understand the flow of thought here in this translation. So just listen to what God says about this vineyard that he has planted, his people. Now I, Isaiah, I will sing for the one I love, the Lord, a song about his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land, cleared its stones, and planted it with the best vines. In the middle, he built a watchtower and carved a wine press in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for a harvest of sweet grapes. But the grapes that grew were bitter. Now, you people of Jerusalem and Judah, you judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not already done? When I expected sweet grapes, why did my vineyard give me bitter grapes? Now, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will tear down its hedges and let it be destroyed. I will break down its walls and let the animals trample it. I will make it a wild place where the vines are not pruned and the ground is not hoed, a place overgrown with briars and thorns. I will command the clouds to drop no rain on it. The nation of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord of heaven's armies. The people of Judah are his pleasant garden. He expected a crop of justice, but instead he found oppression. He expected to find righteousness, but instead he heard cries of violence. So this is the song of the vineyard. Isaiah loved the Lord. He loved the Lord's vineyard, and he wanted to sing this song about the vineyard that the Lord had planted, that the people of God are his vineyard. God planted it, and he provided for it. He did everything for it to grow and to produce good fruit. And he protected it. This is one, if you were to plant a literal vineyard, what? You'd clear the land, get the best of the vines, build the wine press to harvest it, put a watchtower. Why would you need a watchtower in it? To protect it, to watch over it. Because I know this is hard to believe, but sometimes good things, valuable things, other people might be interested in coming and helping themselves to it. Could you imagine that? Can you imagine that happening? I wonder if we have any problems with that. Farmers, where's Carol? There's just Carol. We have problems with people just going in and helping themselves to farmers' fields sometimes.
Yeah, and sometimes they break into their machine shops.
Yeah, and they'll do that too. Okay, yeah. Well, the watchtower was to protect it. So what is God saying here of this? If you'd make all preparations for this literal physical vineyard to produce a good harvest, to be ready for that harvest, and to watch it and protect it. God did everything. In fact, he says, what more could I do? But instead of those good, sweet grapes, like that first picture we looked at when we started, what did God get? He got wild grapes, bitter grapes, sour grapes. Not what he desired. And so because of that, he will bring judgment on the vineyard. So look at verse 8 then. Isaiah tells us, "What sorrow for you who buy up house after house and field after field until everyone is evicted and you live alone in the land." We're going to look at some of the bitter fruits of their corruption and oppression. Verse 9, "But I have heard the Lord of heaven's armies swear a solemn oath. Many houses will stand deserted. Even beautiful mansions will be empty. 10 acres of vineyard will not produce even 6 gallons of wine. 10 baskets of seed will yield only 1 basket of grain. What sorrow for those who get up early in the morning looking for a drink of alcohol and spend long evenings drinking wine to make themselves flaming drunk. They furnish wine and lovely music at their grand parties, lyre and harp, tambourine and flute. But they never think about the Lord or notice what He is doing. So, my people will go into exile far away because they do not know me. Those who are great and honored will starve, and the common people will die of thirst. The grave is licking its lips in anticipation, opening its mouth wide. The great and the lowly and all the drunken mob will be swallowed up. Humanity will be destroyed and people brought down. Even the arrogant will lower their eyes in humiliation. But the Lord of heaven's armies will be exalted by His justice. The holiness of God will be displayed by His righteousness. In that day, lambs will find good pastures, and fattened sheep and young goats will feed among the ruins. What sorrow for those who drag their sins behind them with ropes made of lies, who drag wickedness behind them like a cart. They even mock God and say, "Hurry up and do something. We want to see what you can do. Let the Holy One of Israel carry out His plan, for we want to know what it is." What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. What sorrow for those who are heroes at drinking wine and boast about all the alcohol they can hold. They take bribes to let the wicked go free, and they punish the innocent. These are the bitter grapes of the vineyard. God was seeking righteousness, holiness, goodness, justice, mercy, love. And what did He see? Nothing but corruption, oppression, injustice, bitter grapes. What were some of these bitter grapes? Well, we looked at them there. What? Greed. People were what? Building up and buying house after house, evicting people, just making things better and better for themselves. Who cares about the needs of others? This pursuit, this greedy pursuit of gain. Drunkenness, reveling, parties. Anybody enjoy having fun? Having a good time? Nothing wrong with having fun, right? But this isn't having fun. This is what? This is debauchery. And the Lord says what? And they give no thought even to God. Pursuit of sensual desires with no thought for God. Greed, drunkenness, mockery. Where is the Lord? Let the Lord. What does the Lord want to do? Let Him show Himself. Boy, that's a dangerous attitude, isn't it? By the way, do you think there are people today who have attitudes like this? Greed, drunkenness, mockery of God and God's purposes. Who is the Lord? Let him show up. What does he want? Or how about this one? Boy, this is a this one is a for our times, isn't it? Moral confusion. Verse 20. Woe to what? Those who call good evil and evil good. Right is wrong, wrong is right. Light is dark, dark is light. Bitter is sweet, sweet is bitter. That's what, that's moral confusion. How does moral confusion and a twisting and inversion of values of what's good and right, how does that happen? That happens, what, when people turn away from God and pursue their own ends and their own desires. The deceitfulness, the lies of sin, the deceitfulness of the fleshly mind and heart. So why do you think that people pursue, call the evil good and the good evil? Because I think what the sinful nature within us wants to do the wrong, doesn't it? And we have a conscience that knows it's wrong. So what do? We just have to eventually convince ourselves that no, this is actually good. So we can feel better about what we're doing, right? So we're confused and walking in darkness, and we eventually convince ourselves that good is evil and evil is good. Right is wrong, wrong is right. Dark is light, light is dark. I would say coming soon to a country near you, but we're already well past that, aren't we? Greed, drunkenness, mockery, moral confusion, self-deception. Look how wise. Look how smart I am. Destruction is certain for those who think they are wise and consider themselves to be clever. But because they are far from God, their hearts are far from God, they're fools. They're kidding themselves. And then finally, the bitter group, a bitter grape, the bitter fruit of perverting justice. Destruction is certain for those who are heroes when it comes to drinking, who boast about all the liquor can hold. But what? They take bribes to pervert justice. They let the wicked go free while punishing the innocent. Injustice and oppression in the land. I might also say coming to a country near you soon, but I think we're past that too, aren't we? So this is the bitter fruit rather than the sweet fruit God desired. This was the bitter fruit. Therefore, look at Isaiah 5, 24 through 30. Therefore, just as fire licks up stubble, the dry grass shrivels in the flame, so their roots will rot and their flowers wither. For they have rejected the law of the Lord of Heaven's armies. They have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And that is why the Lord's anger burns against his people and why he has raised his fist to crush them. The mountains tremble. The corpses of his people litter the streets like garbage. But even then, the Lord's anger is not satisfied. His fist is still poised to strike. He will send a signal to distant nations far away and whistle to those at the ends of the earth. They will come racing toward Jerusalem. They will not get tired or stumble. They will not stop for rest or sleep. Not a belt will be loosed, not a sandal strap broken. Their arrows will be sharp and their bows ready for battle. Sparks will fly from their horses' hooves and the wheels of their chariots will spin like a whirlwind. They will roar like lions, like the strongest of lions. Growling, they will pounce on their victims and carry them off. And no one will be there to rescue them. They will roar over their victims on that day of destruction like the roaring of the sea. If someone looks across the land, only darkness and distress will be seen. Even the light will be darkened by clouds. So because of this, God is bringing judgment on the vineyard. He'd already brought it to the northern kingdom of Israel. But it was coming for Judah too. And it would, about 100 or so years after this, through Babylon and the Babylonian exile. So God warns. God is patient. But his patience is not forever, is it? He warned and warned, but the people continued in their ways. So we might say, so what? That's another nation. That was another people a long time ago. That doesn't have anything to do with us today here, does it? Au contraire. See, because God looks for the sweet grapes of righteousness in his vineyard, and he will judge the bitter grapes of corruption. So if the people of Israel were his vineyard, do you think God still has a vineyard today? It's not the nation of Israel now. What is it? It's the church, the people of God. We are the vineyard. He is the vine, we are the branches, right? Is God looking for the sweet grapes of righteousness in us? Will he judge the bitter grapes of corruption and oppression? You better believe it. So I guess I'd ask you this. Got fruit? So that's the good stuff. That's the sweet fruit. Not the bitter fruit. Jesus said in John 15, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Judgment. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Discipline for his glory. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Forgiveness, cleansing, righteousness in Christ. Abide in me and I in you. Remain vitally connected to him. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Judgment. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Promise. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. True discipleship. Honoring and glorifying God. By producing fruit, by as he produces fruit in us, the fruit of righteousness, honors him, and he's glorified by that. So he is the true vine, but he is also the one who produces that fruit of the Spirit. Galatians tells us, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Has anybody noticed an internal struggle within you? A battle? See, the flesh wants to produce bitter fruit. But the Spirit wants to produce good fruit. Sweet fruit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, the bitter fruit of the flesh is evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the sweet grapes, the good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Listen to Him, obey Him. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. So I just ask, are you abiding in Christ? Now, we are not the nation of Israel. The church is not Israel. But we are a vineyard of God that He desires to produce fruit, the fruit of righteousness in the church, in you and me. But the only way that's going to happen is if we abide in Christ, who is the vine, we are the branches. We must abide, that is, remain vitally connected. What happens to that branch when you cut it off? It dies, right? It withers up. But when it remains connected, that's where what the nutrients come from. So we need the nutrients of what? Of God's word, of fellowship or interaction with one another, doing life together. I hate that expression, but it's true. We do need to live together, don't we? No, I don't mean one massive house live together. I don't think that's a good idea at all, okay? But we are to go through life together, helping one another, encouraging one another, supporting one another, praying for one another. Abide in Christ, remain vitally connected to Him, worshiping Him in spirit and truth, studying, meditating on, obeying the Word of God, joining together as His people to worship together, to admonish one another, to pray for one another. This is how we abide in Christ. But then we also need to make sure we keep in step with the Spirit. Are you keeping in step with the Spirit? That is, you and I don't produce the fruit of righteousness in our lives. The Spirit does that. But He does that, what? As we are listening to Him in His Word, responding then in obedience. Keeping in step. The Spirit is telling us to step this way, go this way. We listen and we obey. We're keeping in step with Him. Reliant upon Him, dependent upon Him. We don't try real hard to get better. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not the gospel of moral improvement. Because you know what? People may improve morally, but apart from Christ, what use is that ultimately? It's of no use, right? And God is not calling you and me to get better morally. He's calling you and me. He's made us new in Jesus, and He's producing the fruit of righteousness in us by His power. And we do that by submitting to the Spirit, yielding to the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, obeying what He says by His power. That's how we keep in step with the Spirit. Got fruit? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You that You are holy and righteous, but that You are also good, merciful, gracious, and patient, because I need it. We all need that. But we know, though, Lord, that as the righteous God, that You will judge corruption and disobedience, that You will discipline. But You do this, Lord, for that You might be honored in us. And we thank You that we have hope, the hope of eternal, that we are cleansed, that we are clean in Jesus. But Lord, it is our desire to honor You then in our lives. God, we ask that You would produce a great harvest of sweet fruit in us, in this church body, to do it for Your glory, that You would be glorified and honored. We confess, Lord, where we have fallen short, but we thank You that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Thank You that we are new in Him. Lord, would You transform us through the renewing of our minds that we might honor you in all ways and produce that fruit that honors you in your vineyard. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.